Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with
sports anchor and WWE huge super fan Chris Cheon.
And we are here, I can't believe it's true, it's damn true, with the new WWE Hall of Famer, Kurt Angle. Kurt, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. This is awesome.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, we got to start with your Hall of Fame induction. What was it like to be welcomed back with open arms? And, you know, and that speech, I thought, highlighted, you know, was like the perfect reflection of your career. Like you told the guys, don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. You know, I think that WWE, in recent years, a lot of the speeches were, you know, pretty serious, emotional. And they wanted a different flavor this year. They wanted old school Kurt Angle, so they asked me if, you know, do I have any ideas, and I came up with that little bit of you know, entertainment as well as I could. I actually requested the milk truck that I could drive into the arena. The Vince McMahon said it was a bit too much, so I settled for what I did, but I was real happy about it. I just wanted to come back for the fans. It's not really about me anymore. I have three little ones that never saw me wrestle. I have a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a newborn. And I just wanted them to witness their dad one more time on the WWE stage. And also to acknowledge to the family that I appreciate their support over the years.
Man, it was like literally the perfect speech, because for your kids that never saw it, and for us that did live through it, it brought back so many good memories. Real quick, just memories of doing the cowboy hat, Jimmy Crack Corn with Stone Cold, and then also with the milk truck. I mean, you mentioned it just a second ago, but back when you guys came up with those spots and you decided, I got to take a chance here because it's going to make myself look goofy, but in the end, it works.
Well, you know what? I wasn't all for it. You know, Austin and Vince were coming up with ideas, but the crazy thing is we didn't rehearse, and it was, you know, Vince McMahon said, listen, including the crew members, all the camera guys, anybody in the producer, the director in the room, none of you laugh or say anything till I say cut. And it was all improvisation. It was just an idea. Vince would throw an idea and say, okay, get ready to shoot, let's shoot it. And with Austin, that's what he's best at. We just followed his lead, and everything went behind him. And he was so good at it that it was easy to follow him. So we had a lot of fun doing it. And unfortunately, you know, both Austin and I should have been at home sitting, you know, resting our injuries. But, you know, Vince McMahon was like, damn, my top two talent are injured. What am I going to do with them? I know, I'll put them together and make some funny stuff. So it was a cool thing to do while we were out with injury.
And it looked like Shawn Michaels was crying when you reprised the HBK spoof. I'm just a sexy Kurt. I'll make your ankle hurt. Oh, God.
Yeah, Shawn was always cool about that stuff. He understands the entertainment factor. And when I first came up with that song, he was like, yes, do it. That's awesome, you know. And he was always for that kind of stuff, and I give Sean a lot of credit for that. But the milk truck, you know, I talked about my speech about moments. That milk truck in Sacramento, California, that was probably the best moment I had, including my wrestling. It was it just said 1,000 words all in, you know, without even having to say anything. And it was a little spin-off of Austin's beer truck thing years prior. So It really worked out, you know, to my favor, and it really helped my character out a lot.
So, Kurt, you're back on Monday Night Raw. You are the new general manager, and you got some additions this past Monday night. Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose, Rhino, just to list a few, Alexa Bliss as well. But I wanted to ask you, this is a loaded roster now. Who out of this roster reminds you of yourself when you were a young wrestler coming into the WWE?
You know, there are a mixture of guys. I look at you know, Chad Gable. I think he does remind me of myself quite a bit. But seeing the talent, like in Cesaro and also Kevin Owens. I love the kid. I'm a huge fan of him. What he can do for a guy his size, and how quick, and you know, how he's able to move around the way he does. He defies the laws of gravity. He's just an incredible talent. So There are a lot of talent that I'd love to wrestle. Dolph Ziggler, Seth Rollins. But as far as reminding me of myself, that Gable kid, you know, he's a little bit undersized, but damn, he can go.
Absolutely. You're talking about a lot of these new guys. Take us back to when you were a new guy. You know, you won the Olympic gold medal with a broken freaking neck. And then I love that you turned that into a catchphrase, by the way. But is it true that, you know, that like you mentioned in your speech, that at first you sort of you told Vince McMahon that all right, I'll come, but I can never lose. And then after not hearing back a while, you said, all right, maybe I need to be a team player here.
Yeah, that's the honest truth, man. He literally, when I told him I could never lose, he didn't say another word. He just put his hand out, shook my hand, and left the office. I mean, it was like, he basically said in his own mind, this kid doesn't get it, so I'm not even going to try. He did let me keep the contract, but I don't think he would have signed it once I did. He just knew that I didn't understand the business yet, and I think what I did, like, you know, starting to watch it a couple years later, I think he was waiting for that to happen. I think Vince is a very intelligent man, and I think he was one of those guys that thought, you know what, this kid starts watching, he'll understand. Because I never watched wrestling. I was there. I was clueless. I didn't even know who Stone Cold Steve Austin was. So I was clueless in the business, man. I knew Macho Man because of the Slim Jim commercials, and Hulk Hogan had a Saturday cartoon when I was younger, so yeah. That's the only guys I knew about. So I was clueless, but watching the product, I realized, okay, I get it now. This is what they're asking me to do, and then I went up there and tried out. They wouldn't even give me that contract anymore. I had to work for it, so. But it didn't take me long. I got the contract within 3 days of training, and the rest is history.
But you did kind of weave in the unbeaten thing, at least storyline-wise. Like, your opening match against Taz, he choked you out, but you said it was an illegal hold. And, you know, you kind of wove that in there for a while and kept that little streak going a little bit. Oh, I remember it all, man. It's funny, you mentioned that you knew, Hogan and Macho Man from that era, and it took a while to watch the new product, you know, the Attitude Era, and you kind of saw, now I get it now. But it's funny. Tell us about how, you know, if your character with the three eyes, intensity, integrity, intelligence, all that, if that had arrived during the 80s Hogan era, you would have been a massive babyface with this Olympic hero. But tell me how you sort of, you know, arriving in sort of this anti-hero phase with Stone Cold in the 90s, 2000s, how you were able to be like, hey, I'm going to spin it, and this is actually going to be perfect for a cocky heel persona.
You know what? That was all Vince's idea. He even came up with the three eyes. But what he saw in me was, gosh, this kid is a real American hero, and he would be perfect in the 80s. And that's exactly why he's going to be hated today. And the reason is mine. He said, I tried it with The Rock, and it blew up in my face. So I'm going to try it again with Angle, except this time I know it's going to blow up in my face, and he's going to be a hero.
Right.
So it was from trial and error. And he also thought to himself, my top babyface flips off his boss, drinks beer, and you know, stuns everybody. Even the good guys, he stuns the good guys. So he knew the anti-hero was the babyface of the Attitude Era, and the real hero would make people sick to their stomach because he's so perfect that he would be hated. And it worked. Yeah, Vince was right. I disagree with him. I told him it's not going to work, Vince. I want a gold medal. Not only with that, but with a broken freaking neck. People are going to love me. He said, no, they're going to hate your guts. Trust me. And he was right.
So, like Roman Reigns nowadays, pretty much, right?
Well, you know, with Roman, I love him. He's a great talent. He can go in the ring. The issue with Roman is he was utilized and pushed way too fast. I think that when you skip the at the time the U.S. title, the Intercontinental title, the King of the Ring, you go straight to the top. Fans don't like that. They want you to earn your spot. And I don't think they thought he did. And, you know, he went from tag team in the Shield to being the main eventer. So he's got a lot of ground to make up for. But he did it. You know, he did do the U.S. title thing, and it helped a little bit. But he has an uphill climb. And I really feel for the kid, but he's in a great spot. And I think that, you know, if Vince waits it out for a little bit longer, the fans are going to start to accept him. If they don't, then turn him heel. and they will accept him eventually. So I think that Roman's in a great spot. And do I think he deserves it? Yeah. If you ever stand next to him, he's a big dude. He can go. He's a good-looking guy. You know, half the fans love him, the other half hate him. Same thing as Cena. When Cena came in, Vince pushed the hell out of him, and fans were like, gosh, dang, this guy's invincible. I hate him. So it's one of those things where fans don't like when you're invincible and unbeatable. They want to see humility, and you don't see that very much. In the later years, John Cena, you have, but not in the earlier years. He was literally unbeatable. So that's why, you know, a lot of fans didn't accept him at first. But, you know, John Cena and Roman Reigns, they make perfect baby faces for the company. I think they're in the right spot. It's just going to take some time.
And the "you suck" chants, Kurt, I got to ask you about that. Does it ever get to you when the fans chant that, or do you like the energy that they bring? You know, because it's awesome. I mean, I got to assume, Kurt, that you'd rather get a pop like that than no pop at all, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. When I came out on Monday night, oh gosh, Long Island and Nassau, it was. And this isn't me being cocky. It was the loudest pop of the night, and it really made me feel good. It was, you know, when you're out of the WWE for 11 years, you start to wonder, did people forget about you? And you know, thank God for the WWE Network, because the younger crowd, you know, the young kids, they get educated on who Kurt Angle was. You know, if there wasn't the network, I don't know how quickly they would have gotten educated to who I was, but. It's kind of nice to see that acknowledgement when you come out. And, you know, I always wanted that type of pop in my earlier years, except I was a heel and people really literally hated my guts. But to see it now and fans acknowledge it, it makes me feel like I was one of the rare elite talent that gets that kind of reaction.
Absolutely. And you, I mean, speaking of the rare elite talent, I mean, man, I mean, everyone, even some of the greatest guys ever that you got to come in with, Rock, Austin, and, you know, Mick Foley, Undertaker, Triple H, all those guys. They, I mean, you even threw a shout out to Rikishi in your speech. But all those guys, you know, they all claim to this day that you were one of the fastest to ever pick it up, to just come in and not only grasp the in-ring technique, but also sort of the sports entertainment side of it. But in terms of the in-ring stuff, I mean, I personally think that some of your greatest matches were against, you know, he who shall not be named, Chris Benoit. I wish we could watch more of those matches. You guys threw down some SmackDown matches that are just unreal to this day. But other than those matches, which other opponents sort of stand out to you? Is it Jericho? Is it, you know, is it the Shane McMahon King of the Ring? Or which matches really stand out to you?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. My best matches of all time were with Chris Benoit. It kind of sucks that, you know, there's no acknowledgement there. You know, my career was defined on those matches, especially, you know, the 2003 Royal Rumble. If you never saw that match, anybody that's listening, check that match. That there doesn't get any more perfect than that. It was one of those matches where the top talent, like Austin, Triple H, Undertaker, walked up to me. I was only in the business 3 years. And they said, you just raised the bar. You're the man. You're the best. And, I literally was like, wait a minute, I just started, guys, you know. I'm not supposed to get that kind of acknowledgement. But it was kind of cool to have, a Triple H come to me and say, you know, you might be the greatest of all time right now. And wow. It was such a compliment. So, you know, other than that, I loved my matches with Austin. They were really intense. Dwayne The Rock, he was always entertaining to wrestle. The best thing ring general, I would say, is Triple H and Undertaker. Those guys were easy to follow. They would lead me through the matches, made it really easy for me. But my later years, when I started getting it, I'd have to say my matches with Eddie, Brock, and Shawn Michaels. They were the ones that I really had some great chemistry with.
Awesome. And just one more quick question before we definitely want to talk about your app after this, but final just sort of, you know, in-ring question. You mentioned Brock, and, you know, we just came off of WrestleMania. Memories of when you and Brock main evented that time, obviously the big shooting star press with him landing on his, he almost broke his freaking neck on that. I think it takes a real talent to have the wherewithal like you did, kind of roll to make it look like a, you know, a dodge and be able to just pick up this concussed guy and finish the match? Like, how do you keep your cool in that scenario? That's unbelievable to me.
Well, I was really hurting badly. My neck, I obviously had to have surgery. And, you know, the cool thing about WWE today, they're not going to let you do that anymore. My neck was broken. I needed surgery. I got my doctor to clear me for one match, but that was my doctor. I talked them into it. The WWE now, you have to go through the WWE doctors, and they're not going to clear you. So it's a different time now, and that's good. I'm glad it's that way. But when Brock missed the Shooting Star Press, first thing I thought is, oh, my God, I'm going to have to hold this title for another month. And, that's kind of a selfish thing to think of, but I knew how bad shape I was in. And I look over at Brock, and he's literally on La La Land, and I thought maybe his neck was broken. And I really didn't know what to do. And thank God the referee said, hey, jump on him and cover him. And I covered him, and I thought, oh, God, he's not going to kick out. I'm going to win the title or retain the title, and I'm going to have to go to the next pay-per-view. But he kicked out. From there, I just talked him through the finish. I probably asked him 5 or 6 times, can you do the F5? He didn't answer me. And then he said, I think so. And then he said, I don't know. And I thought, oh, God, we're in trouble, man. But this match isn't going to have a finish. But Brock horsed me up and did the F5. And then we just sat in the ring for 5 minutes. Brock was supposed to come over and pick me up and hug me. And he never came over. And I'm like, ref, tell Brock to come get me. He did. So I walked over to Brock. And I could tell that I didn't know if he had a concussion or if he was just, a little bit goofy at the time. But he was really hard to deal with at that point. Very hostile. Didn't want to go to the hospital. Brock get a little bit, he has that personality where there's no way in hell anybody's taking him to the hospital. So it was an uphill battle after the match just to get him to go. But I give him a lot of credit for what he was able to do. He showed him what kind of badass he is.
It definitely wasn't your first time. I think there was a time where Triple H had a pedigree on a table that collapsed too soon, and you looked a little out of it too. So I think
I was out of it. That was supposed to be a spot where I was supposed to pretend to get knocked out, and I literally did get knocked out. So, but the cool thing is those guys were pros. When I wrestled at SummerSlam, I believe Brock and Triple H. They talked me through that whole match because I didn't know what I was doing. I woke up 2 hours after the match, and I was in on a gurney with oxygen on my face. And I said, what happened? They said, well, you finished the match. I said, I don't remember anything. So the last thing I remember was getting pedigree through the table, and 2 hours later I was sitting on a gurney, and I didn't even know what happened. So sometimes that stuff happens in pro wrestling, but there's nothing you can do about it. They do have a lot of rules now. They're not going to do those type of spots on the table or any type of chair shots. So they're trying to protect the athletes more now.
All right, Kurt, before we let you go, tell us about the app that you've got, Angle Strong, which deals with addiction. And, this is inspired by some of your personal experiences, right?
Yeah, I've been clean and sober 4 years. And we have a really bad, opioid problem. And 21 million people in America have a drug disorder. 10% go to rehab, about 2 million, and only 5% of that 10% stay in recovery. That's only 100,000 people out of 21 million that literally stay clean. The issue is you go to rehab, you go through detox, and then you go through a month of learning about your disease and taking care of your body, doing exercise, dieting the right way, resting 8 hours a night. There's structure, and the problem is when you get out, you go out into the hostile world, and there's no more structure, and that's why so many people are relapsing. So I came up with a concept to have an app and an Angle Strong initiative that have people follow after they get out of rehab, so they have aftercare and they have structure in their lives, and that's the Angle Strong app. You can go to anglestrong.com to learn about the initiative and sign up for the app. The app does everything for you. You check in every day. If you don't check in, your lifelines, which is either your family, your sponsor, your loved ones, they'll be notified. So it'll hold you accountable for what you have to do. But It's also GPS enabled, so if you do relapse, we're going to find you. The crazy thing about people today is their most valuable asset is their phone. So no matter if you relapse or whatever, if you're going to do drugs, people always need their phone with them, and they're not going to give it away or sell it because it's too valuable for them. This is their lifeline, is their phone. So we wanted, we had a hard time with the iPhone of getting it approved because it is GPS enabled. We wanted to be able to track you if something happened to you. We're trying to save lives and we're trying to keep people alive. So the Anger Strong Initiative, it's going pretty well. And I have monthly video calls with all my members that sign up for Anger Strong. We have daily positive messages. We have stuff on the website that, like AA meetings closest to you, rehab's best suited for you. We're going to start having workouts, diets, the whole ball of wax. We're even going to have career choices. So we're trying to be the whole ball of wax all in one, and for people to follow and have structure in their lives, especially when they get out of rehab.
It's so great that you're doing that. I mean, it's similar to kind of what Diamond Dallas Page is doing with his yoga thing. With
former. Well, you know what? We're talking a deal with Diamond Dallas Page for him to be our workout category in our AngleStrong.com initiative. So
perfect.
We want him to be a huge part. What he did for a lot of people in the past, we believe he's the best suited candidate for our program.
Awesome. Well, two Hall of Famers now. Thanks so much for joining us. It was great. Congrats on the Hall of Fame. It's great being back. And I hope that not only with this interview, but with all the Hall of Fame stuff, that I hope what you get from all of it is that we really loved you. We loved your character. We continue to love you. And we really appreciate all the great memories. We never forgot them one second while you were gone.
I really appreciate that, guys. That makes me feel great.
All right, man. Thank you so much. This was a dream come true interviewing, man. I never thought I would as a kid. Take care, man.
It's true.
It's damn true.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Okay, Kurt Angle on WTOP.